What's good, everyone? Welcome back to the Matchnet Podcast. Oh, 안녕하십니까, 여러분. 안녕하세요. Kathy? You good?
I'm good.
Ready to roll.
We're ready to go. It's a fun topic.
Do you know the gender of your baby yet, do you?
No, I don't.
You don't yet. Wow, you're really sticking to your surprise.
I am. There's only one person who knows, and it's a BC in my community who does Reiki, and he hasn't been incorrect in all of his predictions.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, he did Reiki on me, and he got a gender, but he put in an envelope, and I'm gonna open it and see if he's right.
That's fantastic. All right, I'm gonna pretend like I know what that is, but that's very cool. Reiki. It sounds like a Japanese cult, is it?
I don't really know how to explain it. It's about energies and tapping into, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't really understand it so much.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I believe it. I believe this stuff. I do, 100%. I really do. I do. I just don't understand it, but I believe it. I really do.
Same, yes.
So, I'm open-minded, man. I get it. All right, so today, guys, we're going to catch you all up on a very, very scary topic for us, because I don't think we've thought a bunch about this. I haven't, right?
No, I haven't.
If Uncle Benji and Aunt Kat, I don't want to say Aunt Kathy, Miss Kathy, Mrs. Kathy Casse over here, had to do it over again because of some weird time loop where we had to go back in time and our spouses were never born for some reason, and we are in the 30s, late 30s that we are, or mid 30s, and we had to find a spouse in today's age, in today's world, with the technology we have and the opportunities we have in our movement. How would we find a match? How would we do it?
Yeah.
So maybe I think it'd be cool is if we both, let's start with the internal stuff, like the perspective or mindset we would have. And then we can go to the practical searching, like how we would find someone. Is that all right?
Yes. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. So maybe start us off, you know, what are some mindsets that you would want to go? And by the way, guys, this is off the back of years and years of Kathy and I doing matching sporting for people and seeing what's working and not working. And, you know, having very strong opinions many times towards like, just do this, just don't do this, just stop doing that, just like this kind of thing. And so we're able to cut through a lot of the fluff and get really to the heart of the most impactful ways to most effectively find someone in a healthy way. So that's the context for us today.
Okay. Well, all right. So the internal part, you know, if I were to do it again, I think I would actually stick to doing this very similar thing that I'm about to mention. And this was, you know, growing up, I think my parents have always instilled in us that it doesn't matter who you marry. You know, you should be able to marry, I think, Benji, you have mentioned before, a rock or something, right? You should be able to marry literally anything or anyone who looks in any way. And I think I grew up with that same mentality, and I'm so grateful for it, because I think doing the work that we do now, it's kind of reversing. And I feel like a lot of the focus has been on certain external requirements that a candidate has for a future spouse. And so I would absolutely continue to stick with a practice that me and, you know, I grew up living together with another blessed family, the Portalances. And I remember we were doing a 40-day workshop in Korea after I finished high school, and the other two girls, Shizuka and Kyoshi Portalance at that time, we just kind of sat back and, you know, we were at that age where we were kind of thinking, oh, matching, you know, in a few years. We were like 17, 16, 15, but we're like looking at all the brothers that are passing by, and we're like, would you be able to marry that guy or that guy? You know, this guy's fat, this guy smells, this guy, whatever. We were scanning, and we're like, you know, if he's fat, he could lose weight. If he's skinny, he could gain weight. If he smells, there's deodorant. You know, like we were always thinking about ways to make it work. And I don't think we do that enough. I feel like, the focus has shifted to being like, nah, they gotta be like this. They gotta have this going for them. And so I would absolutely go back to the heart behind the blessing, and that is being able to see somebody as a child of God, and that there is a reason for why a heavenly parent and true parents are putting you together. And I think I would not change that. I think that is something that I would actually continue to solidify and focus on as an internal preparation for myself. Of course, we're not going the route of being able to sacrifice completely your happiness, right? But I think we have to foster an open mind and an open heart, to be able to see the beauty in anybody and anyone. So I think that's an internal preparation that we need to keep.
Love it. Love it, love it. And so if you so in terms of like mindset and perspective, do you feel there's any expectations you would place upon yourself? Like what healthy expectations would you give yourself?
So for more internal work, I think I would have loved, I'm just gonna go back to my internal preparation that I did prior to meeting my husband. I don't think I actually did much specifically, and I kind of regret that because when my husband was presented to me by his matching supporter, and then my parents showed me his profile, I actually wasn't in the mindset of looking for someone at that time. So I actually didn't physically prepare. I didn't even have a profile. I didn't even know about the matching application process or that you had to do this certain kind of work. So I kind of felt a little blindsided and not ready. But the way I looked at it was that, my parents growing up have always seen me as always ready. I was always involved. I always made time for God in my life, and hundake was a daily tradition. And I kind of looked at my whole life as preparation for the matching and blessing specifically. But prior to, when I was approached, and I realized, wow, my soon to be or future potential spouse did all this work, and all I did was really just receive this profile and say, yeah, it looks good. I'll be open to it. And I kind of felt like I should have done a little bit more in my end. I should have really taken into consideration how much effort he did. At the time I was coming off of 3 years of SDF, and I thought, oh, that's good enough. I was working on myself. That was a good foundation. But I really wanted something specifically directed towards preparing as a future spouse to somebody, preparing as a future mother, to a potent to my potential future kids. So I think I probably would have had more conversations with my parents when he was presented to me. I was a little bit, yeah, we'll see how this goes. I'm open to it, but I was kind of, 50-50, one foot in, one foot out. And I didn't like that about myself. I wanted to have the heart that he had, which was, I'm going to go all in and I want this to work out. And I want us both to be serious about this. Of course, it doesn't mean you're going to marry someone right off the bat, but having that mentality that you're taking this seriously is respect to the other person. And I felt that I wasn't giving that back to him. So if I were to find somebody all over again, I would 100% directly channel some more specific conditions, specific conversations with my parents surrounding the topic of matching and blessing. So that's something different that I would definitely apply.
Yeah, got it. It's brilliant. And so, okay. And so if you're got the mindset down, the perspectives, how would you go about finding your dude?
Yeah, so this is the scary part. I like to think of myself as a confident woman, but at the end of the day, I think especially for women, there is some insecurities of, is someone gonna really want to have you
Hmm.
for the rest of their life, you know, because I think we always tend to look at our insecurities, our shortcomings, our, you know, what we fall short on, and from the internal to the external to physical to you know, all the things, right? And it's hard because this day and age, and I see it, there is a lot of comparison. There's a, you know, we have social media. We have so many ways to connect. We have so many ways to also compare to other people and their processes and who they have. So, how would I go about it? I personally have 100% trust in my parents and the work that matching supporters do. And I think I'm the kind of person that needs that. I need someone to keep me in check of what I'm looking for in a spouse versus what I kind of just desire out of a spouse. And I feel like I appreciate the wisdom from our elders. So working with my parents is gonna come first and foremost. But also I think now being 30, what am I? I'm 36. I'm old. I have a newfound way of looking at marriage versus what I was at, you know, my late teens, early 20s. I think I've matured enough to be like, yeah, this trait I could live without. You know, I don't need to take this in a marriage with me. So it's I'm a little ahead of myself. So I feel like we have a little cheat sheet, Benji, because we know what works and what doesn't, and we're constantly refining it. So
Know the winning lottery numbers.
yeah, exactly. And that doesn't come easy. We've faced, you know, challenges and difficulties, and we've overcame them in our marriages and our blessing. So I think going this way of the blessing profile and putting in the work to find somebody, it's difficult, right? It doesn't happen immediately for many people. But I trust this process. I trust my parents. I trust that those who are also creating profiles, doing the work that they need to do, are good people. And that, yeah, I don't know if I trust putting myself out there just by word of mouth through other people. I think that's something I would probably explore if I couldn't really find someone through the Blessing for You website or profile or exchanges or whatever. But I like to think that my parents and those who I entrust in my matching support circle, have my best interest. Yeah, I don't know. How would you go about finding somebody today's day and age?
Good question. So if I were to back to the future this and I was Buffy, Bucky, what's the guy, the bad guy's name? Villain, Buffy,
Oh gosh. Yeah,
Buxton,
maybe.
Baxter, Billy, Bummo, Benji. All right, let's call
Something
him Benji.
like that.
Call him Benji. So Benji in Back to the Future goes back and he gets the winning lottery numbers. And that's his strategy for happiness. I'm going to be that guy, but for God. So this is actually what I would do 100% if I did everything over again. So perspective wise, it would be, I'll give you a list of different kind of mottos that I tell people and I live by, and I would live by them. Is number one, it will be very uncomfortable to go through matching processes and conversations. That's a perspective that's helpful because it sets your expectations up for success. So you don't back away when things get hard or when difficult conversations come up with your team, your matching supporter, parents, with the prospective family or match. It will be uncomfortable. It will be guaranteed uncomfortable because this is new. It's a new experience. Finding a partner it's hard work. It's uncomfortable. All right. So that's a very healthy perspective to have. Number two, perspective, it will take many conversations. This is something people don't think about, but that's a very healthy assumption, is that it will take many, many conversations with people. And I know we like to just have one conversation and it just be the amazing, you know, Cinderella, Prince Charming experience from the beginning. Happens sometimes, I think way less frequently than we think, because all we see from our perspective is people are single and then next they're matched on Instagram and Facebook. That's all we see. We don't see the probably dozen conversations that they've had or half a dozen conversations they've had with people. So that's a second mindset I would have. It will take many conversations. The third mindset I would have is hell yes or hell no. In other words, follow my gut. If something isn't to me like hell yes, I want this, I want to move forward, or hell no, then I don't make a decision and I just give it more time because that's usually what it needs is more time. If it's not a heck yes or heck no, just give it more time, more conversations, more kind of dialogue, give and take with the person, with my team, and then eventually I'll have that feeling to follow my gut. And that's kind of, I guess, the next one, which would be to follow my gut, because choosing a spouse, especially in the context of eternity, spirituality, and the blessing, is not something you can make with your mind. You cannot analyze with your brain what the best decision is. You can't. It is fundamentally impossible to do because we don't know. We cannot see the vastness of how God might be intricately working, weaving his fingers into our lives. So we can't assume that I can make a decision based on my logic alone, my analytical mind that tries to fit everything according. Like, we have no idea. No idea. And just talk to anyone that is successfully blessed, and has a healthy relationship and perspective. They will tell you that their relationship unfolded in a way that they could never have imagined, in the most beautiful way imaginable, in an unimaginable way. And then the final perspective I would have is that, let's see, to focus on trust, not on unity. Focus on trust, not on unity. We make unity the goal many times, especially in parent-child relationships, in the team, for example. But unity is a byproduct of trust. If there's trust in the relationship, unity will manifest naturally. And so I would focus a lot of my conversations about building trust with my parents, building trust with my matching supporter, and also building trust with the match, when I do find a match to converse with, building trust and not really making unity the point, and how has trust happened? Conversation, give and take, exposing ourselves, being authentic with our who we are, our thoughts and feelings, and having a reciprocal relationship of that. That's how respect and trust is built. And especially in parent-child relationships, I would really emphasize to myself that, if stuff comes up in conversation, like disagreement, or pain or wounds from the past or fights, which might happen, especially with parent-child relationship, I would really try to see that as a good thing because it's good that it's coming out now and not later. It's good that it's surfacing some opportunities to grow and for us to be stronger and healthier as, as a unit, instead of squashing and saying this is late, this is bad, this is wrong, this is terrible, this is a bad situation. I would say, like, this is actually the best case scenario is that we're talking about this and it's coming up. Like, this is actually, given the relationship that it is right now, needing growth, and given the situations, whatever had happened in the past, the absolute best scenario is that it's coming up now so we can grow through it and we can work through it.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden it goes from this is a problem to this is actually a good thing. Does that make sense? And then I would also apply that to relationship with the person I'm talking with, the match, is if difficulty comes up, like disagreements, maybe arguments or fights, or, distrust, maybe things come up, things are confessed from the past or whatnot, I would try to look at it as like this is actually a really good thing, especially if somebody brings something up from themselves. My goodness. Somebody brings up, something that's difficult for someone to share, I would say, man, that's like, this is amazing. Like, you're a winner, and thank you for sharing that. Okay. So that's the internal stuff. Do you want to jump in, Kathy? Anything to add there?
Oh, keep going. I'm feeding off of this. I like
Cool.
it.
All right. So this is how I would find someone. Disclaimer, this is how Benji would do it. I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying it's the best for everyone, but this is how I personally, as the person I am, would do this. All right. Don't worry, it's nothing outrageous. Not gonna be, anyways.
I love that there is a thing where, every time someone talks about Benji, they always say, this is just such a Benji way.
Oh, for real? Oh, man.
Please go ahead.
I would not know that's a thing. That's great.
That's a thing.
Benji thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I need to trademark that. Copyright. Get some royalties. Okay, so first thing is I would go on. So given the perspective I had earlier, which is it will be uncomfortable and it will take many conversations, I would go on all the websites, all of them. And I would view the websites as blessings and not look at what they're lacking. Right? Because it's easy to say, oh, the website should be better. It's like, no, these are real people that started these websites with limited funds and experience and resources. And they don't have to exist. I'm not entitled to a website that curates people just for me. I'm not entitled to that. And I would say, thank God for whoever the freak made these websites. Thank you for putting us together
That's
and
right.
people. Like, thank you. All right, thank you. That's all I would say. This is an optional. No one had to do these. Thank you. I'm not entitled to this. That's what I would feel. Okay. I feel like I'm shouting at people that like I'm letting out all the stuff that I wanted.
It's good. It's good. Yes, keep
Stop
going.
being an entitled. Anyways, they don't have to exist. They don't. All right. One of them is run by international headquarters. I actually know the people that made the website. Very low funded, right? The blessed family BF what is it? BFA website is a nonprofit, grassroots organization that started by blessed families. And then OMS is funded completely by Anne Marie Myler,
Three,
an individual, a first gen that just cares about this stuff. And we're entitled to think like, oh, websites. Just like, no, there doesn't need to exist a website for you. Who says finding a match needs to be easy for you? Who says it's the church's job to find you a match?
Right.
Think about that. Who says? But it should be easy. No, it doesn't. In fact, it's pretty dang hard, and everyone's doing their best to make it easier so that you can see it on your computer and say, oh, it's not good enough. No, stop. Stop it. Stop. There doesn't need to be 24 plus. Well, 24 plus is not. No, it doesn't need to exist. It exists because it's a blessing, it's a privilege. All right. Benji. Back to the Benji future. All right. So I would go on all the freaking websites. Caveat, I would see the websites as a secondary way to find someone, not a primary way, because I know that it is vastly easier and more effective to get to know somebody internally through meeting them in person and getting to know them, right? I'm not condoning dating around. I'm not condoning whatever. I'm condoning getting to know someone, like Kathy says, as God's child internally in the right context. But I would prioritize first and foremost meeting people in person, and secondarily on websites. If that were to happen, if I were to find someone on a website, I would be like, great. But I focus most of my attention on meeting people in person. How would I do that? Number one, I would travel a lot. I would just travel. I would go to every community, every country, every continent, Africa, South America, Brazil, Japan, Korea, the Philippines, Thailand, Albania, shout out Albania. I would go to Hungary. I would go to, yeah, I'd go to France. I would go to, well, I'd do all of Europe probably. I would go to Africa. I don't really know the African community, but I would figure out like, where's the best place for me to go? And then where can I get around to other communities from there? And I would do a tour there. I would go to the US, probably the hot spots, which would be like Las Vegas, Dallas, Texas, and Maryland area, like Virginia, Maryland area. I would definitely go to New Jersey and New York, like hit up that area. And then I would do like M Midwest, which is like Chicago, Minnesota. All right. Those are the main places I would go to. And I would just be there for like a week at a time, weeks at a time. And I would spend time with, the community, hang out. And I would do that, make my travel experience. And then I would go to South America. It would be, yeah, there's a lot of communities like Argentina, Bolivia for sure, Dominican Republic, Yeah, shout out to Latin America. I would go different places there. Did I say Brazil? Definitely Brazil. I don't think I said Brazil. And then in Asia, of course, Korea, Japan, Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, and Nepal. Like where
Wow.
the main community hubs are. I'm serious. I'm a single dude. Screw everything. I got work. Forget work. Forget school. This is
Was my
it.
question. How are you gonna
How would I
get out of
finance it?
work or pay for these?
I would finance the heck out of this thing, man.
Okay.
I got no kids, got no responsibilities. I mean, you have some. I would just fundraise, or I would work my butt off, and I would
All
save,
right.
and I would just travel. I'm serious.
Yeah, fundraise your way through. I like that.
Their entire YouTube channel is dedicated towards budget travel. So I wouldn't. And there's family, like stay with blessed families, and that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Where else? Where did I not hit up? Let's see. Did I say Canada? I
Australia.
probably. Australia, yeah, I'd go there. I would probably go there just for the fun of it more, you know. I don't really, yeah, I would visit the community, but just for the heck of it, wherever I felt like going, I would travel like crazy, and it would just focus on meeting people, like men and women, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. I would just meet all the people. This is my networking. And guess what? People will be like, "Hey, why are you here? I'm looking for a match." Boom, you've infinitely opened up your possibilities for people to find you because they're going to be thinking about you. That person that randomly showed up on my doorstep in Australia and was like, "Hey, I'm looking for a match." They'll think about you. I'm serious. All right. This is what I would do. I would just go nuts, crazy, balls to the wall. That's not what you think it means. It's a real term. It's a pilot's term, but I would go crazy, balls to the wall. It's a real term. Look it up. Not what you think it means. Go crazy.
Have to
And
Google
then,
this now.
okay. So here's the other part of the travel. I would go to a lot of workshops, all the
Yeah.
workshops.
Yes.
But importantly, I would make the purpose of my going to workshops not to meet people, but primarily to actually experience the workshop. So I have to genuinely, authentically, sincerely want to participate in the workshop. Like Chungcheong, 40 days, you know, Europe, wherever people are having workshops, I would go 24 plus, of course. Of course, that's obvious. I'll just go to all the workshops I can just to like network, to go around. And then I would just follow my gut. Like, what feels like, where does God feel like is taking me to have a conversation with someone? And I would just start those conversations. Of course, guys, keeping my parents, my team in the loop at all times, not making any snap decisions or conversations without involving all the parties at hand. And I would do it all together with my team. If my parents can travel with me, I would do that. I 100% would do that. If my team can be involved in somehow, I would involve them every step of the way. And that's what I would do for as long as it takes for me to feel like this is a hell yes. I'm going to move in this direction. Until I have that feeling, I'm just going to keep doing it, even if it takes years to do. And I would not get frustrated. I mean, I might at times get frustrated, like nothing's happening. I might feel uncomfortable, really difficult emotions come up. But I would use that as an opportunity to kind of just observe myself, be a little self-aware, and say, like, okay, this is part of the process. This is part of it. And I'm being impatient, perhaps. And I want to practice being patient. And if it takes 4 years to do, 10 years to do for me to have that feeling of like, yes, let's do it, I'm going to keep doing it. But chances are it's not going to take that long because the reality is our community is not that large in terms of marriageable people, our general age that want to get matched and blessed right now at the moment. It's not that many people. Yeah. And so, number one, it takes a lot of output to find those people to have the right amount of input. And also, when you do find those people, I think it's rather quick if we're intuitive and insightful to kind of decipher if this is feels like the right conversation way to go. And that's how I would make an enjoyed process. This is my version of enjoying the process and not living for the destination. It's of enjoying the journey of getting there. And not being all wrapped up and fearful of the potential outcomes of the future, but just enjoying the process of getting there. If it takes a few years, then I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right.
I
I
love
didn't
it.
plan this, by the way. I just
Really? It sounded
thought
like you thought a lot
about
about.
it. Not a lot about it. I haven't thought about it until today. I was just like, this is what I would do.
I do really appreciate you saying that you need to be out there. You got to put yourself out there. Because when you were asking this question, I was like, man, I'm replaying certain scenarios, certain workshops, certain interactions I've had, even with especially with brothers, and I'm like, was that a way of them letting me know that they were potentially interested and I was just oblivious? I'm not comparing, obviously thinking, wow, I should have picked up on that, you know? But I'm like, wow, I admire those who are putting themselves out there, because a lot of times we're thinking it's my parents' responsibility. It's my, like you said, it's the church's responsibility. Headquarters needs to find somebody for me. No, it is teamwork with you and your parents and your team, but you also have to do the work. You can't have someone doing it for you. And yeah, so get yourself out there, go to the workshops, go take advantage of the opportunity to travel. I really like that. Yes, if you can
Yeah.
somehow finance this through fundraising, great.
Dude,
Make it happen.
I've seen enough to know that anybody can finance that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, yeah, it's doable. You just gotta make effort and be a little smart, financially savvy, figure it out. It's not that hard. Okay. Yeah, thank you for being the recipient of our thoughts today, everyone. It's an exciting thought process, I think. Yeah. And we're excited for you guys, right? I really hope that if anything, y'all feel some excitement in this journey. You know,
Yes.
it can be very daunting. It is daunting, right?
It is.
Yeah. Very fearful. A lot of heartache can happen. It does happen in the matching process.
A lot.
Things don't work out. Yeah. So much emotion. I know. And we don't want to discredit those emotions and whatever situation y'all are in, nuanced situation, everyone's in different things going on. But we know that God is with you, right? God is already with you, with us all, by your side, and wants to help. Right? Spirit will. Good ancestors want to help, want to be part of our lives. And I think it's more of us just getting out of the way of our own selves for that, for God to work. Anything to close on?
No, I think that was amazing. I think, you just to your point, Benji, there's so many things out there made available to us, and it is by the hard work of those who really truly want to care for our processes. A lot of these are first gens, a lot of them are volunteers, and please take advantage of that. We have, the Blue Dragon Matching Support Group. We have the international matching program that's happening. So yeah, take advantage of what's out there, and but also understand that God works when we do. You gotta start. You gotta get the wheel rolling, and God can work when we start putting in the effort. Speak to your parents, speak to your team, pray about it, start getting some action going, and you will feel God guiding you. So yeah, so to your point, I wanted to just emphasize that.
Ju, God works when we work. I love that. Thank you. Okay. You heard it here, y'all. Catch you later. Share this episode with your team, parents, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, someone that needs to get matched. All right.
That's right.
God bless y'all.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.